We welcome the listeners of Radio Al Ansar, 90.4 FM Durban and 105.6 FM Pietermaritzburg. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you to a series of lectures by Sheikh Ahmed Didat. Sheikh Didat adopted the motto that the best form of defense is Iqra, to read, understand, and spread the message. He has published over 20 books and distributed millions of copies free of charge. He has delivered thousands of lectures all over the world and successfully engaged Christian evangelists in public debates. The public debates are recorded on audiovisual material and are an excellent tool to acquire the Didat method of engaging Christian evangelists. Large numbers of people have come into the fold of Islam as a result of these efforts. He was awarded the King Faisal International Award in 1986, a fitting tribute to his enormous contributions to the world of Islam. The trustees, staff, and management of Islamic Propagation Center International are committed to the legacy of Sheikh Ahmed Didat. Sheikh Ahmed Didat's contribution has been outstanding and remarkable, and his audiovisual products would benefit the community for many years to come. We call upon the international community to pray to the Almighty Allah for late Sheikh Ahmed Didat. He was indeed a soldier, scholar, debater, and an emissary of Islam, taking Allah's message to every corner of the world. We salute late Sheikh Ahmed Didat. May Allah be pleased with him and grant him the highest abode in Jannah. Ameen.
So this is my humble suggestion to the community. And I said that one of the main reasons I was asked what we are lacking. You see, the Christian, he has got a program. We in our Darul Ulooms in India, Pakistan, Umul Qura, Medina University, Al Ain, all over the Muslim world, every Muslim university, I take it even Al Azhar, how many languages do they teach? Arabic and a foreign language? Maybe, you know, in some universities English, maybe in some universities French, one or two. Reason. Because your aim is to produce sheikhs and imams to lead people in the salat. You say, whole world, Muslim world needs people, you know, we say imams, to do the khatib, to do the khutbah. So you're training the guy to become an imam and to deliver khutbah. You're not training da'is. Therefore, you don't need another language. Now, in America, there is another small group of Christians. They call themselves Mormon. They have the church established in Dubai. You see it in your magazine given in the hotels. Every room has it, you know, about the things of interest in the UAE. And you'll find that the churches. You see that the Mormon church is there in Dubai. Mormon. These Mormons, they start from Salt Lake City in America. In their university, they're teaching 38 languages. I don't know whether you people are listening. 38 languages. What does an American do with 38 languages? Huh? In all the universities of the world, they'll teach one or two. Their university, they teach 38. Why 38?
Training the people.
They have a mission. In their system, every Mormon, he dedicates 2 years of his life for dawah. Free. Absolutely free of charge. 2 years of his life, we are supposed to give 2.5% of our wealth, not 2.5% of our time. But they are prepared to give 2 years of their life for missionary activity. And they are asked at the university level, they said, look, when you qualify, where are you going to go for doing dawah? So the guy said, I'll go to Africa. So which Africa? They asked, continent. He said, I'll go to South Africa. He said, well, what language you want to learn? What community? There are so many communities in South Africa. You know, there are 11 different languages today, official languages in South Africa. 11. English, Afrikaans, Zulu, Xhosa. Chwana, Chonga, 11 different. What language? So, well, I think I'll speak to the Afrikaner, the ruler. It's right. You have to learn Afrikaans. The other guy said, I want to speak to the Zulus. So you have to learn Zulu. You want to go to Pakistan, so you have to learn Urdu. You have to go to Indonesia, you have to learn Indonesian. You want to go to Malaysia, you have to learn Malay. 38 different languages they are learning because they have a mission. We have no mission. So we're satisfied with Arabic. Because to do Salat and lead people in Salat and do the khutbah on Friday, you don't need another language. So they are out to do a job of work for which they're training their people. We are not out to do any job of work. No dawah work. That's not a part of our curriculum. That is what we lack. We need comparative religion. How to talk to the Yahudi, bil hikmah. How to talk to the Nasara, bil hikmah. How to talk to the Hindu, bil hikmah. How to talk to the atheist, bil hikmah. This is what which we are lacking. And this is not seem to be occurring to our learned people all over the world. In all over Darul Ulooms, this thing is not a problem.
This means that the dua in the Islamic world, those who graduated from universities, even religious universities, are not qualified for dawah work among non-Muslims. Maybe also among Muslims in their countries, If the matter concerns only prayers or leading congregations or delivering Jum'ah speeches or otherwise, what do you suggest in reference to this? What are the qualifications? What are the specifications which qualify the propagator in modern times? How do we bring up the da'iyah, the propagator, to do da'wah work in his Muslim society or to do da'wah work abroad among the Muslim minorities and among non-Muslims?
You see, I have been conducting classes to train young people. I have been offering my services to the universities, the Muslim universities of the world. So I'm prepared to come along and spend 3 months with you, free of charge at my expense, and train your students to how to respond to the Christian approach, more especially for those students who are going overseas for further studies. Because whenever children go for further studies to Britain or France or America, the people there are waiting for our children. Because they said, this child here is already trained to speak our language. You don't have to learn his language. And we can work from a home base. And the people will be able to absorb them in the community if they are converted. So they are waiting for our children, and they are like sitting ducks, target. So now I have been offering my services. And in Saudi Arabia, I have had classes running, training people. People who are going out overseas for further studies. I said, now master these techniques. I give them what is called a two-hour intense course, just 2 hours. And this 2 hours is of your lifetime. I don't say I want the man for 40 days or for 4 months. Just 2 hours, and I set him on the road. I arm him with the Christian, you know, his book of authority, and how to use his book to propagate our ideas with hikmah. So this is my offer to the Muslims of the world, India, Pakistan, the Muslim universities, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Kuwait, Bahrain, wherever the Muslims are, Turkey. If they want me, I'm prepared to go along and carry this course as long as Allah has gives me the strength to do the job. I'm prepared to do this job absolutely free of charge to any Muslim university in the world. I'm prepared to spend some time and teach them this technique which I have stumbled across, because this is something that, you know, you don't find them in books. You don't find them in books. You read books and books, but you don't know how to do the job, how to implement what you're reading. I teach you how to implement it. So this is my offer to the Muslim world. I'm prepared to go to any country in the world to go along and carry out this mission of mine, to train people how to respond to the Christian missionary activities.
Back again to the question asked before. What are the qualifications and the specifications that the Muslim propagator or da'iyah should have to be able to do da'wah work among non-Muslims? Is it only to follow your ways of propagation that you teach? Are there any other particular specifications to be considered?
You see, this is a world of specialization. There are so many things required for you to become a speaker, to you become a lecturer, to you become an engineer. Everything has got its requirements. But now, mine is the minimum requirement that the person needs in that environment where the Christian missionary is going to ask him questions that, look, Christ died for my sins, who died for yours? The one who says that, you see, Islam is a very harsh religion. The God of Islam is very cruel. He's bloodthirsty. For certain crimes, you chop off a man's hands. For certain other crimes, you chop off his head. You know, but our God is a merciful God. He's a loving Father in heaven. Now, how do you respond? Now, this is my method, is to teach the person how to respond to these problems. Otherwise, the qualification that is required is, for do a da'i, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, بَلِّغُ أَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَا, deliver the message regarding me, even if it is one verse. That is all. If you know one fact, share it. And the secret of knowledge is in this saying, that if you start sharing that one fact that you know, Allah will add on more facts to that one fact of yours to spread the message. So your knowledge increases. It's an automatic thing. But I am giving what is called the minimum requirement of how to get started in this field. And then I leave the soldier to his own contrivances. He must now improve if he wants. Otherwise, at least he can defend himself. That person who goes through this course of mine can never be converted. He can never become a murtad, except for woman's sake or for money's sake. The book can never convert him. The philosophy, the theology can never convert him. Once he passes through my test of 2 hours, he can never become a murtad. That is what I'm achieving.
Now, to another point concerning propagation and the propagators. It is the mass media available now in modern times. Don't you see, Sheikh Ahmed, that there is a necessity in the Arab world and Muslim world for mass media to be recruited to serve Islamic da'wah, to serve it in the best possible way, whether in or out for non-Muslims and Muslims. Especially, we have facilities such as audio and videotapes. We have also the radio and TV transmission. We also have satellite transmission stations. Don't you see, or don't you agree, Sheikh Ahmed, that we have a duty to use all these facilities with their tools, ways, and techniques in da'wah activities to the whole world, especially to non-Muslims? And at least the mass media could be beamed to the Muslim minorities living in the West or Asia or Africa to keep the Islam of the generations born there in an atmosphere and environment which is non-Islamic.
I think Abu Dhabi TV had given us a very good start. After my debate with Jimmy Swaggart, the Abu Dhabi TV was able to reproduce that and dub it into Arabic. And they had it broadcast, you know, in English and in Arabic, and later on, after some time, again in English, they had it broadcast the debate as well as in Arabic. Now, to me, that type of exercise is to be followed by all the Muslim, at least all the Muslim countries. In the countries, they have Christian missionaries and Christian people, expatriates working there. Now, there's no better way to deliver the message of Islam than in the guise of entertainment, because these debates of mine, they are more like entertainment. In the guise of entertainment, we are delivering the message, which I'm sure it was a stupendous success in the UAE. And at that time, I read some newspaper articles about the Abu Dhabi TV, that it beat all the Middle East TV stations, you know, it beat them all. It was a number one, was Abu Dhabi TV. They did that, and somehow it has come to a standstill. But now I feel that that should be emulated by Bahrain TV and Kuwait TV and Saudi TV. Why not all the TV stations of the world? I mean, that's a ready material and a pleasurable material that the Muslim will love to listen, and the Christian, he can also, as man, he will enjoy, because it's both-sided. It's not one-sided. If one-sided, the man comes along and said, look, Jesus is not God. He said, now you're attacking my religion. He said, Christ was not crucified. He said, the man is attacking my religion. But now he said, now here are two proponents. The one is for and one is against. And you listen to both sides and make up your own mind. So, and in the guise, you're getting entertainment and you're getting education free of charge. And I don't know what more I can do. My literature is free of charge. My literature has got no copyright. Anything that I produce, it's all yours. Take it, use it. So that is what I can do, the limited way. But otherwise, the idea is great. We should buy time. But when you already have the equipment in all the Muslim different countries, like Pakistan, Bangladesh, and all the Muslim countries, Egypt, Morocco, Algeria, Libya, why should you not make use of what is already available? And it's entertainment and it's free. But maybe because it's free, people are, you know, reluctant to use it because it's free. If I put a charge, then maybe they might want to buy that time. But now I can't sell. I'm not in the market for sale. I said, look, I'm here to serve Islam, and if people can use me, you use me for Islam. I'm your slave.
Let us, Sheikh Ahmed, turn to other subjects. Actually, the subjects I am going to cast on you now, I expect them to be in the minds of our viewers watching us. And if there was a hotline between us and the viewers, you would have received them in the form of questions demanding answers. The first subject that I imagine that many are eager to know your opinion on is The Muslims believe in the divine books, the Torah, Zabur, Injil, and of course, the glorious Quran. The Muslims reject the Bible, now prevalent and shown in different copies, which you have informed us about and opened our eyes upon. But the Muslims deny that. Where do we Muslims, therefore, find the Torah, Zabur, and Injil, the books that we believe in as Muslims? Where do we find them?
You see, we Muslims, we claim that we believe in the four heavenly books, the Torah, the Zabur, the Injil, and the Furqan. Furqan is the Quran. We believe in these four heavenly books. Now, we are asking the people who are claiming to have those revelations that the Jews and the Christians put together, they have got this book called the Holy Bible. This Holy Bible, translated Kitab al-Muqaddas, that's what they say. In the Arabic Bible, they have the title Kitab al-Muqaddas. It doesn't say Torah, Zabur, Injil. It says Kitab al-Muqaddas. Then they have divided this Kitab al-Muqaddas into two parts. They call it the Old Testament, Kitab
al-Kalim,
Kadim, and Kitab al-Jadid. Old Testament and the New Testament. And I am telling the Muslims of the world that you stick by what they name it. They say this is the Old Testament, say it's the Old Testament. They say this is the New Testament, say it's the New Testament. They don't say this is Torah, they don't say it's Zabur, they don't say it's Injil. Why do you say Injil, Torah, and Zabur? Why? You're making a fool of yourself. Now, what about this book then? In that case, what about this book? So we as Muslims, what I have done, my study, that I do find in this book words which can be attributed to Allah, the words of God, you can find in the book. Then I can give you examples. I can show you in the book also words which appear to be the words of a prophet of God. I can give you examples of that. Then in the book I will show you other words, evidence, which is like that of an eyewitness or a ear witness, or somebody speaking from hearsay. There are three different types of evidences in this book, and which any ordinary person, you don't have to be a theologian, you don't have to be a DD or a DDAD to be able to recognize those three different types of evidences in the Bible. Word of God sounds different, word of the prophet sounds different, word of a historian sounds different. Now we in Islam, we also have something similar, that type of evidence. We have the word of Allah in the Holy Quran, only Allah's kalam. This is not the biography of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it doesn't tell us about his father's name, his mother's name. It doesn't tell us where he was born, where he died. It doesn't tell us the name of his sahabas. It doesn't tell us the name of his mother or of his wife or his daughter. Amazing book, because this is not the biography of Muhammad. This is Allah's kalam. Whatever Allah spoke, it's here. Then we have the minutest detail about the prophet's life. We know how many gray hairs he had. We know when he was angry or when he was happy, which of his veins stood out. We know which of his tooth was broken in the Battle of Uhud. We know the minutest detail about his life. We know more about his private life than we can know about our own father and mother. We have all that knowledge, but it's not in the book, not in the Quran. It's in another type of book called Hadith, books of Hadith, tradition, that gives us all that. Word of God, separate. Word of the Prophet, separate. Then we have the word of our historians. Imam Ghazali, Ibn Taymiyyah, Imam Abu Hanifa, and on and on and on. Again, separate books. Quran separate, Hadith separate, and our great men's writing separate. Then we have a fourth type of evidence. The Arabian Nights. Alf Layla wa Layla. These were stories repeated around the campfires before Islam among the Arabs. You have a separate book called Alf Layla wa Layla. Now, all these four, you will not treat them on the same level. Quran, Allah's Kalam separate, words of the Prophet separate, word of the historian separate, and Alf Layla wa Layla separate. Now, in the case of the Jews and the Christians, they are not that fortunate. They have the word of God in the book, they have the word of the Prophet in the book, they have the word of the historian in the book, and they have Alf Layla wa Layla also in the book. Alf Layla wa Layla, the 1001 nights, also in the book. So now they have a problem. Therefore Allah says, فَوَيْلُ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِعَيْدِهِمْ So woe to them who write the book with their own hands, ثُمَّ يَكُولُونَ حَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ Then say this is from Allah. لِيَشْتَرُوا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا That they may benefit, some small benefit. وَوَيْلُ لَهُمْ مِمَّا كَتَبَتْ أَيْدِهِمْ وَوَيْلُ لَهُمْ مِمَّا يَكْسِبُونَ Woe to them for what their hands do write, and woe to them for what they earn. So in other words, this is the position. So we have to deal with this. So now here is the word of the Prophet of God. Here we find that Hazrat Musa, he prophesied the coming of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which the Quran says and the Bible confirms.
Far too long Islam has been misunderstood. Let all see the light through this divine book. Since inception, 1 million copies have been printed and distributed. Sponsor today. You have your book of life to a blissful paradise. Helping another get theirs would be wise. Contribute now. It's the right thing to do. Call 031-306-0026 or WhatsApp 064-937-7590. IPCI, circling the globe with the message of Islam.
When it confirms, no problem. Allah says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ Says, can't they see whether this book, the Quran, is from Allah? قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَكَفَرْتُمْ بِهِ Yet they disbelieve in it. وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا مِثْلِهِ When a witness from among the children of Israel bore witness of one like him. You'd suggest this to the Jews and the Christians, because the Jews and the Christians, the Jewish Bible is in here. The Christian Bible contains the Jewish Bible. So the Jew is also included. So the Jew and the Christian both can be spoken to. He said, look, in your book, the Holy Prophet Moses was told by God Almighty that he was going to raise up another prophet like Musa alayhi salam from among their brethren, not from among themselves, but from among their brothers. Who is that prophet? He said, no, there's no such thing in my book. I said, open your book, book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 18, and now read it to him in English, if you know English. And I learned it in Arabic. It says, أُقِيمُ لَهُمْ نَبِيًّا مِنْ وَسَطِ إِخْوَتِهِمْ مِثْلَكَ. I'm reading the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 18 and 19. أُقِيمُ لَهُمْ نَبِيًّا مِنْ وَسَطِ إِخْوَتِهِمْ مِثْلَكَ وَأَجَلُ كَلَامِي فِي فَمِهِ فَيَكَلَّمَهُمْ بِكُلِّ مَا أُوصِيهِ بِهِ وَيَكُونُ أَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ الَّذِي لَا يَسْمُعُ لِكَلَامِي يَتَكَلَّمُ بِهِ بِإِسْمِي أَنَا أُطَالِبُهُ. Almighty says that he will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto you, like Musa, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it will come to pass, verse 19, that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he, that prophet, shall speak in my name, I will fix him up. I will require it of him. In the Catholic Bible, it says, I will take revenge. Very strong, very strong. You say, who is that prophet? Who speaks in the name of God? Who else, after Moses, which prophet was this, who spoke the word of God? Everything he spoke was from God, not in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but in the name of Allah, God Almighty. It's only the Quran. Open the Quran, and a beautiful example. In this Quran, this translation by Abdullah Yusuf Ali, it has a fantastic arrangement, as if it was done to prove a point. He had no such ideas. Yusuf Ali, some 50 years ago, almost 60 years ago, he had no such ideas that he was going to help us in our argument to prove a point. He said, that prophet shall speak in my name, and if you don't listen to him, I will fix you up. I'm going to take revenge. In this Quran of Yusuf Ali's translation, 114 surahs, like every Quran, but the last surahs are small, small surahs, and in his arrangement, every surah is a different page. It starts, let's start with the last chapter, Surah Nas. 114 chapter. It starts, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Next page. Chapter 110, Surah Falak. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Next page. Surah Ikhlas. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Every page. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. In the name of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In whose name is Muhammad speaking? He's speaking in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. You know, this prophecy, when we analyze, it's also part of my book, The Choice. It's also part of my book, The Choice. All these things, facts are being given. In other words, that you read, you strengthen your iman, and you use this, how to talk to the Jew, and how to talk to the Nasara. Then again, in the Christian Bible, it says, in your Bible, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ also supposed to have spoken about our Nabi. In the Gospel of St. John, chapter 16, verse 7, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go, I will send him. In Arabic, it says, لَكِنِّي أَقُولُ لَكُمُ الْحَقِّ إِنَّهُ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِنْ أَنْتَلِكَ لِأَلَّهُ إِلَّا مَنْتَلِكَ لَا يَعْتِيكُمُ الْمُؤَزِّي وَلَكِنْ إِنْ زَهَبْتُ أُرْسِلْهُ إِلَيْكُمْ. Now, I learned this in different languages. I learned it in Zulu, I learned it in Afrikaans, I learned it in French. In other words, makes your task easier. If you take a little trouble, do a little bit of homework, it is so pleasant. I met a man here in this hotel of mine that I'm putting up, on the sixth floor. And I'm asking, he says, where you come from, sir? You come from Britain? He says, no, I come from France. So I says, you know, I was trying to learn your language. He said, yes. He said, I want you to hear. I hope I'm not murdering it. You know, you must forgive me. He says, no. So I said, cependant, je vous dis la vérité, il est avantageux pour vous que je parte, car si je ne pars pas, le conseiller ne viendra pas vers vous. Mais si je m'en vais, je vous l'enverrai. He's stunned. The man is stunned. He says, no, man, this is fantastic. He said, I'd like to meet you again. I said, look, I'm here on the sixth floor. Anytime I'm available, room 618, come and see me. You know, it's an open sesame. Opens up doorways for you. If you take a little trouble to the Arab Christian, quote him in Arabic. To the English-speaking person, quote him in English. And to the natives of any other language, get the Bible in that language. Get the verses from my book, The Choice. Memorize it in the language to share with people. So this is the method I'm suggesting to people, that every ordinary person can avail themselves of this opportunity.
Where do we find the Torah, Zabur, and Injil? Do we find them in the word of the Lord or the word of the prophet? Where do we find them? In whose words? You spoke about the narrators, the historians, and other things like Thousand and One Night. Where do we find Toraz, Jin, and Zabur?
You see, we must understand ourselves, these terms, what they mean. My understanding is that when we say we believe in the Torah, it means that we believe in the revelation, the wahi, that Allah gave to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. Everything that was given to him was from Allah, and we accept that as Allah's kalam. When we say the Zabur, it means to me that the revelation, the wahi, that Allah gave to Hazrat Dawud alayhi salam, that was the Zabur. And the wahi, the revelation given by Allah bari ta'ala to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, is called Injil. Now, we are asking the Jews and the Christians, have they got anything that was written by Hazrat Musa alayhi salam? The Torah, what Hazrat Musa alayhi salam said and wrote. Because what they get, the so-called Torah, what they say the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, they call it the Torah. Who the Jews? They call it the Torah. In that five books, more than 700 times, the words occur. The Lord spoke unto Moses, and Moses spoke unto the Lord. The Lord spoke unto Moses, and Moses spoke unto the Lord. In other words, Musa alayhi salam is not talking, and Allah is not talking. If somebody else is telling you that this was told by so-and-so, and this was told by so-and-so. If Hazrat Musa alayhi salam wrote that, he would say, the Lord spoke unto me, and I said unto the Lord. The Lord said unto me, and I said unto the Lord. There's no such evidence. Then again, in this book supposed to be of Moses, the book of Deuteronomy, the last chapter, it speaks about the death of Musa alayhi salam. It says, and there Moses died. Musa alayhi salam, he died in the past tense. And there Moses died in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, and no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. Who's writing that? Unto this day. The man who's writing is alive. His Musa is not writing that I died. And Moses was, I'm reading it in English, the Bible, as they give it to me. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. And his natural powers had not abated. Meaning, if he had another 16-year-old wife, he might have done justice to her. He was still strong and virile. Did Moses say that? And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Did Musa say that? So on the very face of it we know this is not the works of Musa alayhi salam. Zabur is the same. The Injil, they have the books they call the New Testament, which in Arabic they say Injil, you know, the books, certain books. There are New Testament is Kitabul Jadid. It has got 27 books. And in the Bible that I have, this one here, every word supposed to have originated with Jesus in the 27 books are written in red, red ink. Red ink means Jesus, black ink means people, people's word. All the red ink. 90% of the 27 books is black. That means according to their own confession, according to what they say, only 10% of the 27 books are supposed to be the words of Jesus. Jesus in his lifetime, he never wrote a word. Not a word was written in his lifetime. He never instructed anybody else to write a word, and not a word was written. Then the books that they are, they call Injile Matthew, Injile Marcus, Injile Lucas, Injile Yohanna in Arabic. These four Injils, four Gospels. I said, now we believe in Injile Isa. This is Injile, you tell me, the Christian is telling me, this is Injile Matthew, this is Injile Marcus, this is Injile Lucas, this is Injile Yohanna. I said, right, okay. As such, I take it for what it's worth. I believe in Injile Isa. Have you got it? He says, no, that's what I believe. If you produce something that was given by Isa alayhi salam, left by Isa alayhi salam, with his signature, attested by somebody or his disciples, attested that these are the words of my Isa, it would mean something to me. But you haven't got anything like that. And these Gospels that they have written, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they have now some 24,000 manuscripts, old manuscripts. And out of the 24,000, no two are identical. How can you say this is the word of God? No two out of the 24,000, they are all different. How can you say this is the work of Jesus? These are his teachings. So Allah tells us in the Quran, فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِأَيْدِهِمْ ثُمَّ يَكُلُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ لِيَشْتَرُوا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. This is big business. Because when they produced the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, they took out some of these things because they didn't believe it's the word of God. The Holy Trinity, which is in this King James Version, which is in the Roman Catholic Version of the Bible, it's there. In the Revised Standard Version and all modern translations, the verse on the Trinity is thrown out as a fabrication to please us, because Allah tells us in the Quran to tell them, وَلَا تَكُلُوا ثَلَاثًا. Don't say Trinity. إِنْتَهُ خَيْرًا لَكُمْ. This is, stop it. It'll be better for you. إِنَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. For you, Allah is one Allah. He's not three in one. That's what Allah told us 1400 years ago. Now they have taken it out and thrown it out as a fabrication. So he says, look, man, you're coming closer. Jesus is the only begotten Son. That word begotten from John 3:16 is taken out in the modern translation to appease us, because the Muslim says, Wama, Allah tells you, he says, Anna yakunu li waladun walam takun lahu sahiba. They say that Allah has begotten a son. Allah says, Waqalu ittakhadha ar-Rahmanu walada. And they say that Ar-Rahman, the merciful God, has begotten a son. In answer to that, Allah says, Laqad ji'tum shay'an idda. It's one of the most abominable assertions one can make. The worst swearing you can give Allah is this. Takadu samawatu yatafattarna minhu. Edi, the skies are ready to burst. Watan shakkal ardu. And the earth to split asunder. Watan khirul jibalu hadda. And the mountains to fall down in. And the awli ar-Rahman walada. They should say that Ar-Rahman, the merciful God, has begotten a son. So now, this John 3:16, which says Jesus, the only begotten son, that word begotten is thrown out. To appease us, to please us, the Muslims, to God. No, this is their discovering, they're finding out truth. We have to show it to them. Say, look, you are coming to, but you're dragging your feet. Come, man, take one long step, like Armstrong took on the moon. It says, one step for man, and 1,000 years, this thing for mankind. Same thing. It says, come with speed, and come and reason together. Allah is telling us to talk to them. Allah is telling us, قُلْ سَيْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْ. Come. إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَائِمْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. That we come to common terms as between us and you. And in coming to common terms, Allah lays down rules and conditions. Very reasonable. Most reasonable. So number one, سَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That we worship none but Allah. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. And that we associate no partners with Him. وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْدُنَا بَعْدًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. And that we do not take from among ourselves lords and patrons other than Allah. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا. But if they turn back, فَقُولُوا شَهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. Tell them that we are Muslims. We have submitted our wills to the will of Allah. Allah is telling us how to do the job. Talk to them. Call them. تعال. تعال. We are not doing it. It is about time that we woke up to our responsibilities. As the Christian is working so hard for his religion, he has every right to do what he is doing. He is sincere. To me, he is sincere. He wants to save us from hellfire. It is also our duty to save him from hellfire. And for that, Allah shows us how to do the job with hikmah in the Quran. If you will only learn.
Sheikh Ahmad did that. We would have liked to continue on with this conversation longer and longer, that the viewers enjoy you more and more. But we don't like to burden you, hoping to meet you on another opportunity, inshallah, in United Arab Emirates in near future.
I'm very happy also to be with you. And I'm very, very grateful to the people of the UAE and to His Highness Sheikh Zayed bin Al Nahyan, because he made it possible for me now to come, and go in as a national of Abu Dhabi, as a national of Abu Dhabi. You see, previously, it took me about 3 years, you know, to make my turn to come here. But in the past 3 weeks, I have come to this country 3 times, gone out and come in, gone out and come in, because I have got a multiple visa, thanks to His Highness Sheikh Zayed and to his departments and to the Abu Dhabi TV, because they did something for me which put me on the map of the Muslim world. They dubbed my tape into Arabic.
The change of heart, look at the Muslims. Look at them. Jesus said, by the fruits you shall know them. Do men gather figs from the thistle or grapes from the thorn? He said, every good tree will be a good fruit and every evil tree will be evil fruit. Here is the test, the fruits. Islam has created the biggest society of teetotalers in the world. There are some 1,000 million Muslims in the world, and almost as a whole, they are teetotalers. They don't imbibe alcohol. Here is the fruits. My own particular race, the most racist people on earth, you know, the Hindus of India, the caste Hindus, you know, the supermost Brahmin caste, my nation. And you see, the same nation, the most racist nation on earth, becomes one who accepts the black and the white, the rich and the poor in his brotherhood. A change. With all these claims that are being made for Christianity, Jesus Christ transforming people's lives, you know, the old you goes out of you and the new you comes into you. I says, my dear brothers and sisters, look, in this mighty nation of America, according to Brother Swaggart, 11 million drunkards. That's what he says. 11 million drunkards and 44 million heavy drinkers. Your nation. And Brother Swaggart says, I see no difference between them. Means 55 million. He considers them to be drunkards. The only difference is that he is not going far enough. In Islam, we say even your social drinker. The Holy Quran says, but before that, the Prophet Muhammad said, so whatever intoxicates in greater quantity is forbidden even in smaller quantity. No excuse for a nip or a tot. Out. The Holy Quran says, Ya ayyuhal lazina amanu. So, O you who believe, innamal khamru, most certainly intoxicants, wal maisiru and gambling. Brother Sawgat in his book on gambling says, 54 billion a year you are squandering on gambling. Wal maisiru, wal ansabu and fortune telling, wal azlamu and idol worship, rizum min amali shaitan, are an abomination of Satan's handiwork. Fajtanibuhu la'allakum tuflihun. It's a shun such abomination that you may prosper. And wine barrels were emptied in the streets of Medina, never to be refilled. This is the fruit. This is the fruit of this teaching. With 2,000 years of preaching, look at it. You have these powers of miracle working. Christ gives life. He heals the sick. Muhammad couldn't. In the name of Muhammad, they couldn't do it. I says, my brothers, you don't read the scriptures. Jesus Christ, he said, for there shall arise many false Christs and false prophets who will show you great signs and wonders if it were possible to deceive the very elect. If false Christ can do that, if false Christ can perform miracles, if false prophets can perform miracles, then I says, is this a test of your faith? No. Then Jesus Christ tells those who are doing this miraculous work, he's telling you in the Gospel of St. Matthew, that on that day, on the last day, on the day of judgment, he says, many will come to me on that day, saying, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name do many mighty works? In your name. In the name of Jesus, didn't you do all these things? Didn't we do all that? He said, yes. He said, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I said, yeah, explain. You. He won't tell the Jews, depart from me. I don't know you. He won't tell the Hindus, get away from me, or the atheists, get away from me. He will tell you. I want to know why. Why would he tell you? I don't even know you. I says, look, these are not the test. John the Baptist, according to Jesus, one of the mightiest messengers of God, Jesus says, among those born of women, there has not risen another greater than John the Baptist, and yet he performed no miracles. Did he? Show me. What did he do? What miracles? No, miracle is not a test. But the greater miracle is that without any miracles, you transform nations. Nations are transformed. 1,000 million people, they don't imbibe alcohol because of the dictates of Muhammad.
Without that, I would not have been known in the Arab world. Today, every Egyptian child seems to know me. Every Muslim he meets me from the Arab countries, they stop me in the street. And for this, I have to thank the UAE government, Abu Dhabi TV, and His Highness Sheikh Zayed, because he received me with such kindness and hospitality. I can't express it, you know, the humility with which he received me. As I was trying to apologize for exploiting his time, he says, no, man, he feels honored to receive me. He makes me sit on his right-hand side. And 1 hour he kept me there trying to tap my brains, and I was also trying to tap his brains. And there's so much I learned from him that can help me in my work intellectually. Ideas he has given me, which I'm going to implement. I started implementing already, alhamdulillah. And he's asked me to do certain special jobs, which I'm prepared to carry out. So I am a servant of the Muslims wherever they want me, and Abu Dhabi, I think, will be my second home, because I have a multiple visa. Anytime I want to feel like coming in, I can come in, and anytime I can go out and come back again. So I'm very, very grateful to Allah Bari Ta'ala and for the Sheikh and to the people of the UAE for making my life easy for me.
Welcome anytime in Emirates. We thank you for this interview, and we thank you for this chance that you have made available to us and to our viewers to enjoy your ideas and thoughts. May Allah grant you longer life, and may the peace of Allah, His mercy and His blessings be upon you.
Upon listening to the various subject matters and episodes, please assist the IPCI to continue the legacy of Sheikh Didat. For all your contributions within Durban area, call or WhatsApp Abdul Khalik Ali on 078-768-7948 and Johannesburg Muhammad Khan on 083-982-8828. IPCI, circling the globe with the message of Islam.